Many people hoped to hear specifics in the president's speech yesterday, and they got them.
We must acknowledge that at times our friends in the region have not all reacted to the demands for consistent change with change that's consistent with the principles that I've outlined today. That's true in Yemen, where President Saleh needs to follow through on his commitment to transfer power. And that's true today in Bahrain.
Also clearly true in Syria, where the president has imposed new sanctions on President Bashar al-Assad.
Is this the end of some beautiful friendships? Breaking up with several leaders in the Middle East, the U.S. is newly single, ready for a new relationship, say, with the people of the Middle East? It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It is Friday, May 20th.
A speech at the State Department by the president that's causing some turbulence in some long-standing relationships around the world. We're going to look for some blowback right in the headlines. What's expected to be a tense meeting at the White House today, President Obama will meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just 24 hours after the president said he supports a Palestinian state based on Israel's 1967 borders. Netanyahu calls that indefensible. Danny Dannon, the deputy speaker of the Israeli parliament, is among President Obama's many critics in the Israeli government this morning.
What he's trying to do is impose his wishful peace plan on us without even negotiation process. It cannot work that way.
There are reports that Netanyahu and Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, openly disagreed on the language of the speech in advance of its being given. And this morning, Israel's government approved the plan to build more than 1,500 housing units on land around Jerusalem, annexed after the 1967 war.
That is the official version. How is President Obama's speech playing out on the streets of the Middle East? Rachel Mills sells T-shirts in Jerusalem. She says President Obama T-shirts used to be popular. Not anymore.
No one wants to wear his face because no one likes him. He doesn't do anything for us. He only causes problems. So no one wants his T-shirts.
In Yemen, tens of thousands watched Obama's speech on a big screen in the capital. This pro-democracy protester tells our partner, the BBC, the speech is too little, too late.
Obama didn't take a clear-cut stand when we were suffering from these repressive regimes. Now he is trying to make up for his silence.
We're going to get more reaction from David Sanger, the chief Washington correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, in just a few minutes.
In Pakistan, a car bomb targeted a convoy of U.S. consulate workers in Peshawar this morning. Two Americans were injured. The Taliban says it's a revenge attack for the killing of Osama bin Laden. The FBI has requested a DNA sample from the Unabomber convicted Ted Kaczynski as part of its investigation into the 1982 Tylenol poisoning. Unsolved case in the Chicago area that killed seven people, the biggest product tampering case in U.S. history, and the reason why medicine containers are sealed and so hard to open today. Kaczynski, who's serving a life sentence in Colorado, denies he was involved.
Former IMF chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn is expected to be released on $1 million bail today. He'll be confined to a New York City apartment until his trial. Floodwaters have closed the state of Mississippi's main north-south highway. Mandatory evacuations begin in several Louisiana towns tonight at midnight.
President of TEPCO, that Japanese utility which operates the troubled Fukushima nuclear complex, says he is resigning. The company also reported $15 billion in losses for the fiscal year, the largest ever in Japanese history.
And a 25-year-old Oregon man, paralyzed from the chest down, is now able to stand up and even take a few steps with a little help. He's the first patient to receive experimental treatment where doctors implant an electric stimulator in his spine. Asian markets are mixed. European indices are up. Futures are down now. The Dow starts at 12,605. The S&P at 1,343. The NASDAQ at 2,823. We will speak with the New York Times' David Sanger a little bit more about the president's speech from yesterday. But let's start a conversation now because there may not be much time left.
What?
Well, do you know they're predicting the end of the world tomorrow at 6 p.m.? The Family
Sanger
Radio Network.
Oh,
I don't know.
Radio
David
Network.
Sanger, maybe also.
No,
we'll have
he
to
would
ask
not
him.
Do that. He would
but
not.
We're wondering what you would do if the world truly did end tomorrow. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Tell us what your Carpe Diem plans are.
People have lots of responses here.
They do.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science. Neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.